We've been looking at the seven signs or miracles in the Gospel of John. The seven signs or the miracles of Jesus. And the PowerPoint is up behind me. We are on the seventh miracle. And I've titled this series 7 plus 1. So we're almost done with this series, but we're going to continue in the Gospel of John because our quizzers are memorizing and working on the Gospel of John. And I'm hoping that in the new year, they'll have enough material behind them so that they will be able to start reciting some of the passages that we're going to be looking at here Sunday morning. So that's the hope as we enter this new year. But this is the seventh sign. And so we started a number of months back. In fact, we started in September. That's a long time back. It's taken a long time to get to Sermon 7. You know, so there's been a lot of stuff in between, I guess, is what to say. But we started with Jesus turning water into wine. Remember that? That was the first sign. And then we moved along from there all the way. We can, if your memory serves, you know, it's where the man was by the pool of Bethsaida and went in. And we just keep going, the blind man, and it just keeps going. Now we're on the seventh sign, the seventh one. So take out your Bibles, turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I was really wrestling. This is a long passage. John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. And I was just wrestling with, do I read it all? Do I read it all? And I'm looking at the time, and I'm even wrestling with it this morning. Do I read it all? And it is a very familiar story. It's probably one of the most familiar miracles in the Scriptures. We hear it quite often at funerals. This miracle. I want to read it. I really, really do. So we'll go a little bit, well, whatever is longer. We'll see what longer is. But I want to read it because I think it's so important to read the Word of God. And it's a long text, but we'll read it. Here we are. Got your Bibles open. You can follow along. This is the NIV translation. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And when he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Right? We get that, right? We say when somebody's sick and sleeping, they're going to get better. But this is not what's happening here. His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Very, very positive, isn't that? Yeah, a little bit of pessimism sits there amongst the disciples. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, and here's these two verses that are verses we've heard so often, and they are foundational even in our faith. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Verse 36, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, I'm thinking, did I skip a slide? Can you take me back and then forward? Okay. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. I'll repeat again. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And here we are, the final four verses. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Then when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice. Catch that, loud voice. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. The key in this passage is verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Our passage begins by introducing Lazarus to us. Lazarus is only mentioned by name in this gospel. And we find him only in chapters 11 and 12. Yet, Lazarus has two sisters, Martha and Mary. And we come across Martha and Mary at other times in the Gospel of John, and we come across Martha and Mary in the other Gospels. This family enjoys Jesus' company. Why do I say that? Because from biblical records, we come to the conclusion that Jesus has stayed at Lazarus' house before. Before this event, he'll stay at this event, and then Jesus will stay again at Lazarus' house the last week of Jesus' life. That whole week, Jesus stays at Lazarus' house. And every morning he gets up and he walks into Jerusalem, and then in the evening he comes back to Bethany. Bethany, an interesting name, Beth, if you're in Hebrew at all. Beth is house of. So Bethlehem, Bethany, house of, Beth. Bethlehem is house of bread. Okay. Bethany, house of the poor. Interesting. A little bit of trivia more than anything, but maybe it'll get you thinking. So Bethany, 1.4 miles, 1.5 miles, something like that, really from Jerusalem is what Bethany is. And so Jesus stays there, comes back and forth. And so we find from this, we draw the conclusion, yes, Jesus is a good friend of the family. But as we begin the story, we get confused. Jesus was some distance away from Bethany. It tells us in our scripture passage that Jesus had gone to where John the Baptist had baptized. Now, for those of you to kind of get the picture, I'm going to turn this way, and I'm going to say, here is the Jordan River coming down. The Sea of Galilee is at the top. The Dead Sea is at the bottom. Over here is Jerusalem. And so where John the Baptist baptized was at the bottom of the Jordan River, close to the Dead Sea on the other side of the Jordan. I don't know if that helped you at all, but that is where Jesus is when he receives the news from Mary and Martha that Lazarus is sick and that he should hurry and come. The response is interesting, but in all of this, we find that, of course, it's emphasized again and again. Maybe we could go back one slide. I'm one slide too far ahead. No, the other way. There we are. Emphasized again and again that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were loved by Jesus. There it is, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And yet, when Jesus hears the news that Lazarus is sick and that he should come, we're caught by surprise. Because we look at our scripture passage and it says that so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Is that a response of love? And we would say no. No, it catches us by surprise. Why would he delay coming to Lazarus, going there? Why would he delay? We know the story. Lazarus dies. But the answer is already found in Jesus' response, where Jesus says in verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And yet at the same time, we know that Lazarus is going to die. So we realize something has to change here. But the purpose of this miracle is to glorify God. And John tells us, the writer of the Gospel of John, God is directing him, says that he's writing so that we may know that Christ is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. And so we know that through this miracle. But Jesus decides finally to go with his disciples to Bethany. That's where he decides to go. And he tells his disciples that he's going. And there's that term, fallen asleep, that catches everybody off guard. It's a euphemism for death. And then Jesus has to tell them very clear and very straight that Lazarus is dead. And now they're even more confused. If Lazarus is dead, why are we going? Why are we risking our lives? Because already at this time, Jesus is wanted by the leaders. He's wanted. His life is in peril already. And Jesus says the strangest thing. I'm going to see if I can get to the right place now. Verses 14 and 15. Jesus says the strangest thing. He says, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go." Jesus chose to let Lazarus die. More than just letting Lazarus die, Jesus chose to let Lazarus die dead, we could say. One commentator, he makes the following comment, because Lazarus, as we find in our text, was 4 days in the tomb. decomposition would already have taken place. So one writer of a commentary said the following. He said, "The fact that Lazarus has been buried for 4 days may seem like an insignificant detail, but it helps us to get at the reason for Jesus' delay in going to Bethany. Among the rabbinic teachings in Jesus' day, there was the idea that when a person died, the person's spirit hovered over the body for 3 days. And if somehow the body was resuscitated, the spirit returned to it. But according to the rabbinic tradition, the spirit departed after 3 days, and the body was beyond all hope of resuscitation at that point. In light of this teaching, it seems likely that Jesus wanted to get to Bethany after the 3 days had passed, so that once he had raised Lazarus from the grave, the Jewish authorities could not say Lazarus' spirit had been lingering and his body had merely been resuscitated. By delaying his return, Jesus let enough time pass to make it absolutely certain that the rising of Lazarus was completely against nature and could not be seen as anything other than a miracle." You see, it's key here that the people realize this is a miracle. I think of our lives so often. You know, we pray for people that are sick in the hospital, right? And then they get better. And instead of us saying, "Oh, God healed them," so often we turn around and say, "Well, I guess the medication took effect," or something like that, right? We hear that time and time again. So we can see the understanding behind this. This was so important that all doubt would be removed of who Jesus is. And going back to that area of prayer and healing, yes, God heals. God heals. Even though we know the story, Mary and Martha did not know the story. They did not know what happens. And when we think of this event, we have to think of the pain that Mary and Martha undergo, because Jesus is waiting back on the other side of the Jordan for Lazarus to die and to be put in the tomb. You see, there's something we have to realize in all of this, and you might be offended by what I'm going to say. You see, it's not about you or me. It's about God. It's about God. And so, Jesus doesn't want to hurt Mary and Martha, but he wants Mary and Martha to understand something. He wants Mary and Martha to come to the understanding that there's something far better and far greater, and that is faith in Christ Jesus and in God. It's there. And 3 times, Jesus faces a question of doubt. Did you catch that when I read it and I slowed down and tried to emphasize this, but you might not have caught it? The first doubt comes with Martha. When Martha encounters Jesus, what does Martha say? Martha says in verse 21, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Mary approaches Jesus, she says exactly the same thing. She says the same in verse 32. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And there are emotions that are going on in Jesus at this moment in time. In verse 33, it says, "When Jesus saw her," that's Mary, "weeping after she said this, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled." In fact, here the translation into the English doesn't quite translate. Jesus was upset. He was kind of angry when he saw Mary and the others weeping. He was upset. He was angry. He was troubled that they would be so in this situation. In verses 37 and 38, we see the same thing and the same words are used. It says in verse 37, but some of them said, could not he? And this is the third time doubt is expressed, and it's the crowd. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And Jesus, once more deeply moved, there's that whole concept again, once more of that anger and that frustration there in his heart. The commentators, they come and say that there's two possibilities why this frustration and anger is in Jesus and why it's here recorded for us. The first is because of the unbelief of the people. And the second is because he is facing the outcome of our sin. Both could be correct. Because as Jesus goes through this event, the outcome of our sin is there. It's death. And death will one day be gone. But until that day, we will all die. And it's a reminder of our sinful nature. The other side is probably very true, is that Jesus was upset at the unbelief. And not so much at the unbelief of the people, but the unbelief of Martha and Mary, who had seen the miracles that had happened. And not only that, Martha, who testified, "You are the Messiah." And I wonder, how often are we like that? We, in our prayers, we declare, "Yes, you are God. Jesus, you are God." And yet we don't trust him. We get frustrated that he's not working fast enough in our lives, that he's not doing the things that we want him to do. Instead of saying, no, God is God and he is sovereign. And he loves me. He loves you. And in the end, the best is going to take place. Jesus, we're now in verse 39. And Jesus says, he's now there by the tomb. And Jesus says to them, take away the stone. And again, we see the doubt of Martha. Because Martha responds back to Jesus, the one who declared the resurrection was possible, the one who declared that Jesus was the Messiah. We see the doubt showing up. Lord, by this time there'll be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus says to Martha, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? I am the resurrection. And Jesus stands then in front of the open tomb. And I love it, in a loud voice. And I'm not going to get loud, but in a loud voice, he calls out, Lazarus, come out. When you think of that, I think of sometimes we as parents will say to our kids that are making noise, if you were any louder, you'd wake the dead. Huh? Just think of that. And Jesus, in a loud voice, calls out, Lazarus, come out. He wakes the dead. And one day, all dead in Christ shall meet him in the air. And those who are still alive will meet him in the air when he returns. With a shout, with the sound of the trumpet, we will come alive. And there Lazarus came out of the tomb. This is a picture, not just for Mary and Martha, but it is a picture for all of us to realize that if we believe, we will have life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus has power over death. And he will win. The victory has been won. He will bring death to an end for us. But how do we know if we believe? How do we know if we believe? I think we see it in our scripture text. And here's the catch. You might miss it. Just go to chapter 12. Because I told you that Lazarus never appears anywhere else in Scripture. And we find him here in John chapter 11 and 12. And we don't find any words of Lazarus up to this point in time. But we come to John chapter 12. And here I believe is what happens if you believe. In John chapter 12, verses 9 to 11, it says, "Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead." This is the last week of Jesus' life. Verse 10. "So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him." You see, I believe that's the key. If you believe, you will have an effect on the people around you. And after Lazarus was brought back to life, he became this evangelistic fervor, this evangelist who in fact led so many people to Jesus that they wanted to kill Lazarus along with Jesus. I think if we believed, we would see it in the world around us. So I'm going to ask you the question again. Do you believe? And I'm going to let you think about that and ponder that.